This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Now, 2019 was not a good year for the FBM Kuala Lumpur Composite Index, registering a negative return of 6% while the rest of the world was enjoying a bull market. The S&P 500 was up 28%, while even closer to home, Singapore and Hong Kong were up 5% and 9% respectively. So today we have with us Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer for ASEAN Equities at Principal Asset Management, and Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank, to tell us what we can expect for the Malaysian equity market in 2020, or are we doomed to repeat the performance of 2019? Now, welcome to the show, gentlemen. Like I just said a minute ago, the performance of the KLCI was sadly dismal. And even on this show, we always laugh and, you know, sadly say that it's probably one of the most unloved major markets in Asia. So I just want to put the bad year behind us, but still ask the question, why didn't we benefit from the 3 insurance rate cuts by the Federal Reserve last year, like other equity markets? And let's start with you, Patrick.
Right, thank you, Chang-Ning. I think to put things in perspective, right, obviously the headline KLC number was down 6%, right? But to put in, the ASEAN markets as a whole was underperforming a lot of the other markets. So Thailand was down up by only 1%. And the biggest markets that actually benefited from these interest rate cuts were actually China and the North Asian markets. And these have more progressive positive growth that we had compared to Malaysia, right? But when you look at, if you distill that number, I think it's a numbers game, right? Malaysia as a whole, if you think about it, was down 6% mainly because driven by the banking sector. The banking sector was down 10%. And guess what? The banking sector is 35% of the KLCI. And you think about it from a mid-cap basis, the mid-cap market was up by 8.6%, right? And the small-cap market was up by 25%. So who says that we can't make money in Malaysia? Right. So if you're able to pick the right stocks and the right sectors within the Malaysian context, right, you still can make money. Unfortunate thing is that money puts more money into large cap companies and the large cap has underperformed. Right. So that's the reality of where Malaysia is today.
Do you think that Patrick left anything out, Alex? Because throughout the year, I mean, a constant reason cited by our commentators as to why, let's say, the FBM KLCI was so lackluster was actually policy uncertainty. Do you think this is the case? And is this something you hear when you go marketing to foreign fund managers? Is this a complaint of Malaysia?
I think policy uncertainty has been one of the fallout factors from the change in government. Clearly, when that happened, there was a lot of changes both in the GLC leaderships, and I think that took a little while for them to find their feet and a bit of a steep learning curve. So the reality is that the underperformance of Malaysia, other than domestic impediments, from political risks and so on, was because, you know, corporate earnings for the big caps didn't really, it was disappointing.
It didn't materialize at the end of the day.
No, it was disappointing. We have an EPS contraction of 6.3% for 2019. And, that puts, 2019 forward FY20 PEs at 17 times where we are right now.
So not cheap, right?
Not cheap at all. Yeah.
And not cheap against the region. But going back to your comment, Patrick, about that, the Bursa Technology Index up 30%. And then, like you say, the FTSE Small Cap Malaysian Index up 22%. There's this divergence, right, between the KLCI and the other indices. What's driving this divergence? Is it because the market is willing to pay a premium for growth over value? Is this going to continue, you think, in 2020?
To a certain extent, yes. I think where investors will always look for is growth, right? But our view is that I think we cannot even also ignore value sectors, right? Particularly, for example, if I look at it, one of the cheapest sectors in the FBM KLCI today is the banking sector. Right, a lot of banks today are trading way below where we were 10 years ago in terms of price to book, right?
But is it a function of the fact that the return on equity may not be as good as what you're used to in the past? Yeah. It was double digit.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, you must look at it from a relative value perspective as well, right? A lot of these banks are also giving very decent dividend yields, right? And they are spending quite a lot of money in terms of technology, which I think, if you take a forward-looking view, then maybe the ROEs will start to improve from here, right? If you compare us against the likes of Singapore banks, for example, we are trading at very, very low, but at even more decent ROEs as well, right? So you can compel that, you know, take a view that from a ringgit or US dollar perspective, right? If I buy into a Malaysian bank at a very cheap valuation in terms of the ringgit basis, right, then why not? I can make from the ringgit, I can make from the dividends as well, right? So that's the kind of thing that we did. You have to balance between the value versus growth as well. Now, the key question is, do you overpay for growth?
Mm.
Our view is that you can, but you got to be mindful of the fact that if the earnings don't come in, then you're going to have a pitfall, right?
Yeah, the prices will correct very sharply. And we'll come back to the discussion about what sectors your gentlemen like. But this question is reserved for Alex. Because the cycle of earnings disappointment, which has been the case for the last 3 years, right? I mean, that's a fact. Now, is this the fault of corporates who guide you badly or analysts, and because you're an analyst, being too optimistic with their earnings estimates?
Okay, I think in the last 5 years, for perspective, we've had one positive year of earnings growth. That was back in 2017 when we saw EPS growth moving up 7.5%. You know, so really, you know, there have been many, you know, theories on why, you know, corporate Malaysia's earnings growth have not been positively correlated to GDP growth, for example, and why, you know, corporate earnings growth have been so weak. You know, when I say corporate earnings, I refer to the KLCI, the large caps. And I think one of the reasons, you know, there may be others that, you know, for the weak corporate earnings is that what the factors that have been driving GDP growth, such as exports, you know, have not, you know, the exporters have not been well represented on
Yeah, there is this disconnect, right? Because GDP, I think probably 2019 will come in at about, what, 4.6%. But then the KLCI is negative 6. So there's this huge disconnect, which to the ordinary man in the street, he can't correlate. Why is that the case?
Correct. So I think, you know, we've seen weak top-line growth, continued cost pressures, and really, you know, some of the, you know, the earnings surprises that we saw last year, that really came about from cost-cutting initiatives, you know, you know, continued efforts to trim costs. And when you overdo it, when you over, you know, and that's a reflection of weak business sentiment.
Mm.
And when you overdo the cost-cutting, you actually end up cutting capacity.
And then leads to low growth.
Well, yeah, that risk constrains your future growth potential.
Is another thing that we should be concerned about the high foreign outflows, because we saw cumulative net sales of about 11 billion in Malaysian equities for 2019. So from your report, Alex, I see foreign shareholding now only at 14%. It's probably the lowest, even when compared to the 1997 financial crisis.
Yes.
But I'll ask you, Patrick, what do you think the reason is for this?
There are many reasons, one of which is quite structural, right? I mean, last year itself, right, if you think about MSCI Emerging Market Index, right, the Chinese Asia market got included, right? So ASEAN as a whole got
smaller,
and Asia got bigger, right? So that's one structural issue. The second issue is that...
But won't it get worse over time? Because the Chinese market can only get bigger, don't you think so, Alex? Yeah.
Definitely. I think that pressure, that structural change is going to continue. But I think one of the mitigating factors for Malaysia is that if the GLCs, you know, the GLICs, take an initiative to actually trim down on their holdings of the GLC companies, then that increases the free float. So the FIF, the foreign inclusion factor, increases, and that will help to mitigate. But I think it's unavoidable. If you include your China A shares, then the share of you know, ASEAN as a weightage
will decline.
Know, will decline.
But there's a chicken and egg, because you mentioned like the GLICs are supposed to cut down their holdings of the main big cap stocks in Malaysia. But with this very weak market, is that going to happen? You know, why would they do it at this juncture? Last year we had the big one, which was IHH being sold down to Mitsui. But other than that, there wasn't that much of this sell down, supposed sell down that the government is looking for, right?
Yeah, but your key assumption is assuming that the market will continue to go down, right? Our view is that, you know, we're a little bit more bullish on the equity markets, and therefore, if you do believe that the markets will start to rally from here, then therefore, you know, the market, the clicks and all that have the opportunity to sell down their stakes, right? So that is where we're coming from, right? I don't think that it's as bearish as a lot of the sell-side people are talking about here. You know, we believe that there's ample opportunities in Malaysia.
Okay, we're going to have a bigger discussion in terms of your outlook. I've been speaking to Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer for ASEAN Equities at Principal Asset Management, and Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank. Up next, how is the Malaysian equity market going to do in 2020, and what's the best investment strategy to take to make some money? BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer for ASEAN Equities at Principal Asset Management, and Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank. Just a moment ago, we were talking about why the KLCI had such a bad 2019, although highlighting that there was still money to be made. Now, let's have a look at 2020, and we'll start with you, Patrick. Are we going to have a better year for the KLCI?
Absolutely.
And what is that view premised on?
We turned a little bit more positive on Malaysia back in December, right? And as you know, we always try to be a little more bullish at the beginning of the year. But I think fundamentally, we see a lot of green shoots coming on board. For example, the December PMI numbers were turned 50. And I think that's a key indicator that we look at to show that expansion is coming on board. But technically speaking, right, and we look at flows, we look at, like you earlier said, you know, Malaysia has been quite unloved and unowned. That kind of low ownership is very, very oversold from a decade perspective, right? And I don't think that is going to continue going forward, right? I think there should be a round reversal. When Malaysia seldom underperforms for more than 2 to 3 years, right?
We are in our third year already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are in our third year, right? So historically, Malaysia tends not to underperform for 3 years in a row. What is that going to be premised on? I think in a market where I think it's quite correlated to oil prices, quite correlated to, I think, a potential dollar weakness, I think Malaysia should start to shine a little bit better. Now, on the front of earnings itself, you know, markets are all looking at about 6% growth. We are almost in line with that, but I think there could be some upside surprises. We are hoping that maybe the banking sector could be one of the driving forces, which was a big laggard last year. We see a lot of bright spots in the technology sector, some of the semicons, some of the manufacturing companies. All in, I think this could be a very interesting year for Malaysian equity markets.
What about you, Alex? What do you think the KLCI, or how would the Malaysian market do for 2020? Are you more optimistic this year than you were in 2019?
I think definitely. You know, having said that, I'm not a, you know, an outright bull like Patrick seems to be. I think
it's a relative question.
Sure. I think, you know, there are going to be pockets of opportunities to actually make money. You know, I mean, if you look at, you know, it's all about bottom-up stock picking initiatives. If you look at valuations for the large caps, we are still somewhat reserved as to how high the fundamental upside for the market could be. Because right now, even at say 1600 on the CI, the market's at what, 17 times FY20 PE. So really, how much higher can we expect the market to go? I mean, sure. I mean, we you know, it's possible that we could have a liquidity driven rally if there's positive news on trade front, if the Middle East geopolitics don't blow up into a shooting war. You know, suddenly we could, because a lot of you know, people are still underinvested in Malaysia. You know, there could be a FOMO effect, as I like to put it, right?
Fear of missing out.
And people could start chasing the market, sure. But if there was such a liquidity-driven rally, personally, I would be, you know, selling into strength and looking, you know, at, you know, coming back in at lower levels.
So you're suggesting taking a almost trading approach towards the market.
It's a trading market.
You can't just buy and wait it out. I mean, and kind of, you know, the typical fund manager will say, you know, a dollar cost averaging is all about long-term investing. Is that theory being thrown out the window? What do you think, Patrick? Is it about toes in all the time?
I think you should stay invested, right? Our mantra has always been that you should stay fully invested, right? And I think this year itself, particularly, right? I mean, everybody was saying that, please go out there and sell all your equity portfolios and hold cash and buy bonds last year, right? Now, if you think about it, right, you missed a massive rally in global equity markets last year, right? So what we are saying here today is that in Malaysia itself, where it's our home ground, people have ignored it for a while. It's been unloved. The ringgit is cheap. And therefore, if you don't take this opportunity where I think, I don't believe that it is that expensive, right? In fact, at below 1600 level, it's one standard deviation below the five-year average in terms of PEs, if our numbers are correct. On a price-to-book basis, it's 1.6 times, where the average is 1.7. It's cheap. If it normalizes back to 1.7, you're talking about 8% upside from here. That's decent returns. On a large cap basis, on an index basis, if you add value like us, we add another 200, 300 basis points, then you get decent returns. And we have done that last year, right? Mm-hmm. Most portfolio managers last year who are active managers were acting, you know, giving the really decent returns in Malaysia, right? So I don't see that reversing this year as well.
Okay. And let's go back to some of your themes or some of the sector calls, right? Let's start with you, Alex. What would you say are your big buy sector calls? Or should we look at this more from a thematic basis if we wanted to make money in Malaysia?
Okay, we are overweight on about six sectors right now overall. Our most recent sectoral upgrade was in plantations. In fact, RHB was the first broker in the market to
okay,
upgrade.
Okay, shameless plug there, but
absolutely.
Yes, go for it.
Absolutely.
But we do know that's a fact because CPO prices are at 2,800.
Yeah, we upgraded the sector to overweight in late September. That's worked out fairly well. The other sectors that we also have overweight calls are on oil and gas, gaming, REITs, rubber products, construction, and the non-bank financials.
Okay. And for you, Patrick, do you have a similar list or any different views in terms of your sector calls?
Our process has always been driven by growth, but we're taking a little bit of a more barbell approach this year. And that barbell approach includes value sectors. As I said early on, banking is very unloved at the moment, right? And if I look at the banking sector today, right, the risk versus returns, right, is very, very low, right? Most banks are trading at 1 to 1.3 times price to book, right? And so I think there's an opportunity there. Obviously, the other sector which I've always liked is the technology sector. Unfortunately, the technology sector is a very small component of the FVM KLCI.
Despite the fact that it has already gone up so much last year, it still has legs?
Well, yeah. I think the what we're hearing is that, you know, the semicon sector continues to be well. I mean, you've got 5G on the board. You've got supply chains being disrupted and so forth, right? And so I think there could be more potential. I think Malaysia as a whole, you know, is very, very good in the back-end semicon space, right? And so I think that will get some uplift.
And what about the sectors you totally dislike and you will say avoid like the plague? What is off your radar, Alex?
For me, property is still going to be dead money.
There's clearly, no recovery in sight?
Clearly, I mean, stocks are cheap in the sector, but it's a value trap because there are no catalysts. I mean, if you just take a drive around KL city centre,
you know it.
It's a scary view out of your car window because of all the construction that's going on, and principally in commercial and office property. And you just wonder, who's actually going to move into those new developments. And you've got Banda Malaysia, you know, TRX coming in, you know, PNB building, BBCC.
Just going to invite the Chinese and the Hong Kong people to come over.
Yeah, but not enough of them, unfortunately, to soak up all the supply. Yeah.
So I think property is going to be continuing the downturn that it's been in. I think on the consumer side, we are neutral. There are still a lot of money hiding in the consumer space.
This is a defensive sector, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't disappoint usually in terms of earnings.
Well, it gives you your 2, 3, 4% annual kind of return. But would you pay 50 times for Nestle, almost 50 times for QL for that kind of return? Mm. So it's expensive, but there are the fact is that a lot of people still hiding in there.
Mm. What about you, Patrick? What would you completely avoid? What is a sell for you?
What's
any sectors that you would avoid, like it's either because you think that it's a structural decline or the pricing is too high, valuations are too expensive?
I think one of the challenges that we have within Malaysia is I think the telco sector is quite a challenging environment. And I think there's a lot of regulatory risk. As Alex mentioned, there have been a lot of cost cutting to drive the bottom line. So those are sectors which we are currently neutral to slight underweight.
Okay, and Alex, what are your top five stock buys for us?
Okay, we like stocks like Genting Malaysia, for those funds who are allowed to buy non-Sharia stocks. We also like KLK. First plantation pick. I think news flow on the construction sector will improve as we go along into 2020. A lot of the contract awards for the various large infrastructure projects haven't really been made known yet.
When they do, that will start being reflected. But clearly, there are some structural kind of changes, things like the government takeover of the toll roads and so on.
Yeah.
So that's really still a big question mark for the market. But other stocks that we like in the oil and gas space, we like Yinson.
Mm.
We also like Astro Malaysia for the yield.
Despite the possibility that people are cutting their cords even more with Netflix and maybe Disney Plus,
they've got a very strong stranglehold on the core market.
Mm.
So it's the other it's a
small, sports fans,
yeah,
right? They'll keep it alive, right?
Yes.
And gentlemen, what could derail all this? What could be bad news for the Malaysian equity market? What's the biggest risk? Let's start with you, Patrick. What do you think we should be worried about, or what keeps you up at night?
I suppose, what is topical these days is geopolitical risk, right? We've seen what happened in Iran. We've got some resolution for the U.S. trade war, but that's still up in the air whether that's going to continue. But I think all in, if you look through the last couple of years, if you look away from just the political risk and you moved away and not invest in stock market or the bond market, right, you have missed a big opportunity, right? And so my point is that, yes, there are risk, but you've got to be fully invested. And you got to make sure that you partner the right people to invest.
Which means you, another shameless plug. Yeah. Right? But the thing is to focus on the fundamentals, right? Don't get distracted by all the noise.
I mean, clearly, geopolitics is something topical, but it's a common denominator for all markets, right?
Let's say things more specific to Malaysia. Are there any domestic risks that you are worried about, Alex?
Well, I mean, what's been bandied about is obviously the political succession issue, and that remains an unresolved at this point in time. Right now, the other fundamental concern here is, are we going to see an inflection for corporate earnings?
Mm.
We've come off multiple quarters of earnings disappointments, right now, it's still unclear. I would still say that there is downside risk for earnings growth.
Okay. On that note, thank you for your time, Patrick and Alex, for telling us your expectations for the Malaysian equity markets. We do all hope that FBM KLCI will do much better for 2020, and basically everybody gets a chance to make some money from this equity market. I am Wong Xiaoling for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.